Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Here I am. Okay, so sync is off. Well, okay, it doesn't matter. Close enough, I think. Alright, so comments and the usual stuff. I mean, you know, maybe some message board posts. So the real issue is, as Pirro has asserted, there is no law that momentum has to be conserved in mechanisms like springs and levers. They don't conserve the momentum is the argument they're making, and therefore they produce less momentum on one side of the lever than the other side of the lever by some miracle that I can't possibly understand. And likewise a spring. I compress the spring with a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour and then lock the spring and replace it with a 5-ton train, and their argument is the 5-ton train only leaves with a 0.4 increase in its velocity. It doesn't go twice as fast. Now, even though all the little cart experiments with springs in the middle that push the two carts, all of those conserve momentum, so every spring experiment I can show you, you know, it's on the internet, momentum is conserved. Yet, okay, we're to believe that they don't conserve momentum. So, I mean, it's, and the problem is, it just isn't these two simple experiments. So this is, you know, there's got to be somebody out there, you know, who's got a work table and a this and a that and some hardware and likes to work with their hands and wants to do, I mean, these are really simple experiments. I mean, yeah, maybe I'll just draw them to start with, and you know, just to solicit it, because I really don't want to do the experiments. Or it just really is kind of inconvenient, because I want to do them well enough, okay, that nobody can complain about some gimmick or bullshit. But I mean, you have two really simple experiments. I mean, just take any kind of spring loading device. I mean, you're just saying you're going to take a spring and compress it a certain amount. I mean, all you really want to do is put any kind of object on it. So even if you shot them off the edge of a table, you know, in this direction, and you're just going to take a, you know, a 2-mass and a 1-mass and do the experiment with those two different objects. You know, place one in and see how far it goes. Put two in, see how far it goes. And the idea will be is they will fall at the same rate in the gravity. So that, you know, saves us some trouble. And the idea would be is that the light one will fall, okay, twice as far, okay, it'll go twice as far away as the heavy one, okay, and proving that the momentum is conserved, that this one will leave with twice the velocity, which means, you know, that I can compress springs with heavy objects and shoot springs with light objects, and I can double my energy. So there is free energy. So it will prove free energy. Okay, so let's just understand that there, this experiment decides the question once and for all. It basically says if it doesn't land here and instead lands here, okay, that'll tell us that, oh, okay, well, it can't land here. It has to land in the same place, actually, to conserve the energy. This one, the lighter one, has to land in the same place as the heavy one, which it's not going to do. Well, let's just think energy-wise. Yeah, no, well, here's where they're saying it would land. You know, 1.4. So instead of 2x, it'll only go 1.4x. All right. And, you know, I say that logically you can understand this can't be the truth. This bullshit can't possibly be the truth. But whatever. That's a simple experiment. You just film that and just, yeah. There. There's different ways to do it. You can roll things, but I mean, rolling always involves turning something, spinning it, and, you know, then the rotational energy becomes part of the, it consumes some of the momentum. So you don't want to really force things to roll or do different things because that'll distort the results. It probably wouldn't be enough to throw it that far off, though. I mean, air resistance, different things are going to get in the way, but there are tiny differences in the effect. And then the other experiment is just this, you know, this silly, dirt simple lever experiment that you could probably do in either direction, right? I mean, this way, like a pendulum, or this way, you know, And, you know, it's just too simple. You put the same force in, okay, dropping M, and then you just sit there and do the two versions, right? You do the version with the the one mass, and you do the version with the two mass. All right, and, two mass. All right, let's just X that out. Two mass goes here, okay? So one distance and two distances. All right, and their prediction is that the two mass, that somehow this side of the lever can tell. So you're doing the same mass here, all right, in the same location, and somehow they're saying the lever can tell the difference between this and this. When, you know, logically you can understand it can't tell the difference. There's no way this side of the lever knows that you're tricking it with putting a lighter mass further out because it thinks that's the same mass. It's going to move this the same amount in both cases, and it's going to move this the same amount in both cases. And this is going to be twice the velocity of this. There's no way of getting around it. So even by just the fact that if I just put this on a pendulum, right? I just put the lighter object out here, and I put the heavier object right, you know, fulcrums here, so I have to put it the same distance. I could draw it up here. All right, so I got the heavy thing, and then I got the light thing out there. Okay, fulcrum. We know that'll oscillate. Fine, I can just push some energy in here, and it'll oscillate. This will go down, you know, and this will go up, and this will go down, and this will go up. And the truth of the matter is this thing will move 1 inch, this thing will move 2 inches. So for every inch this one moves, this one will move 2 inches, and it'll oscillate just fine. And it'll prove that this is moving with twice the velocity, and this is moving with, you know, one velocity. It'll prove, okay, that the momentum is conserved. And so there can't be a logical issue here. So why do I even have to argue this? I mean, smart people can't read the writing on that wall. I mean, it's... And the fact that you don't have your evidence, you can't show this because none of your experimentalists, I mean, no physics class can do this experiment because then they'd have to tell their students, well, yeah, of course, the formula doesn't work. I can't show you the math because it's not consistent with the actual experimental results. So, yeah, of course I'm not going to show it. And then you get to, like, the Professor Lewin bullshit experiment, you know, that overtly creates free energy. So, I mean, maybe I'll read from that form, too. Overtly. And you're just, like, an overtly a free energy experiment. Sitting there right in front of everybody, and I have to explain to you that, you know, that's really crazy. That's just too loopy. Why is he doing a free energy experiment? He doesn't believe in free energy. Why is he saying this is a foundational function of their mathematical theory when it can't be the truth? It's all just too stupid. I mean, that it takes all of this work, you know, to make such a simple point, to get people to accept such a simple point. All right, so this is another crap comment from the Leska guy, who I'm done with, but whatever. He posted it on the website, so I'll read this one, but it's probably the last. Some of the momentum will go to the lever. Okay, so in the drawing of the lever, how does it do that? How does it go into the lever? So when there's a 5 pound, so it's got a 5 here and a 10 here, weight, you know, and it's balancing perfectly, and it's doing this whole thing, and you're saying that somehow, though, if I put just enough energy so it lifts off the lever and jumps off the lever and bounces off the lever just a little bit, that somehow it knows it can't do that because your math says it can't, and all of a sudden it just, no, I can only go 1.4. I can't go the 2 inches anymore. This side's going 1 inch. This side's all of a sudden going to say, I can't go 2 inches. I have to go slower than that. I have to go 1.4. I have to go substantially slower than that. I don't, you know, what does that mean? Some of the momentum will go to the lever by your discretion. The whole point of levers is they're very efficient. They convert one form of momentum into another form of momentum, and they do it quite reliably. They don't lose a whole bunch of energy. That's why they're really cool. And whatever energy you're pushing down with the lever, like the energy that actually goes into the ground, is just like your ass right now. your ass doesn't go into the earth and that's it. That's all that happens. Nothing else happens. No, the earth pushes back, right, dumbass? So obviously whatever energy would go into the ground gets reflected back into the lever. Just like you get reflected back into the air. If you attach the lever to something, obviously, like, it can't work otherwise. Can't possibly be creating a balance if the balance is moving. The momentum will go into something. It's not going to go into the earth. It's just not. The earth doesn't accept it. Just like gravity, the earth just gives it back. Why cannot you understand this? Because it's stupid. That's why I don't understand it, because I'm not stupid. Why do you believe in this witchcraft, this voodoo, this nonsense, when you can just intuitively know it can't be true? Okay, and MS/S in acceleration. So he's conceding it's a gimmick of acceleration. You know, this squaring of crap. And that the squaring of crap literally doesn't mean you square anything. So it's another one of these just complete canards. It's a complete lie, right? If you're going to argue that you squared something, it's supposed to mean a real thing. Like you actually took two lines and you made a square, a bigger volume, okay, a bigger area, right? That's not what this gravity equation is doing, correct? I mean, to say something's falling 1 meter per second, every second it falls another meter. Well, that's obviously not making square meters, is it? I mean, it's 1 meter. Is it one squared? Right? I mean, there's no way of doing this that's rational. There's nothing to square because you don't have the other dimension yet, because you haven't finished the experiment. So obviously, if something only falls for 5 seconds, then you're not really squaring it, right? You're just doing 1 times 5. You're not squaring any numbers. So you write it as if you're squaring the seconds, right? You just put seconds squared. You don't put seconds times the other seconds, the other second number. 1 second number is per second. How far does it go in a second? The other number is how many seconds. You're not squaring anything. So it's just a lie. All right. An accelerant just means that an object gains XMS in velocity every second. Right, but it can't, if you don't say how many seconds it is, then it's just an infinite number then, right? You're just going to make up the number? What are you going to do? Where are you going to get your square seconds from? Where are you going to get the other component to be in the time, seconds times seconds? So it's not really seconds times seconds, right? It's really not seconds squared like Einstein's formula. It's really this number times this number, and they're two separate numbers that are in seconds. But they're not, and no number is squared. And you're not saying that's not deceptive. That your notation is completely deceptive. You're not squaring anything, yet you put the little two up there as if you did. All right. How can anyone interested in physics not understand this simple notation? Because it's criminally a lie. It's completely a lie. It's not a square. You're not squaring the number. You're not doing what it traditionally is known as squaring a number. You're not squaring 1 meter per second. You're not squaring 3 meters, right? If it was 3 meters per second, it was falling, you wouldn't square the three. That wouldn't tell you anything. It wouldn't tell you the truth. It wouldn't tell you the truth because your experiment took 10 seconds. Squaring the three wouldn't give you 10 times 3, right? It wouldn't give you 30. It would give you 9. All right, check your vitamin B2 level. So this is, I guess, some sort of shot that somehow this is some meat eater, okay, some asshole who can't show a little charity to tortured animals or even try, not even a little bit. Can't even try a little bit. Okay, I'm worried there is something wrong with your brain. I'm not worried particularly. I know there's something wrong with your people's brains. You're stupid, petty, weaselly bastards who can't do any fucking logic with any kind of integrity. You have to be a completely dishonest asshole to keep ignoring every argument I've made, okay, and keep just saying F equals MA, you fucking cunt. I mean, there's no excuse for the behavior. I've made all of these points, and you have addressed none of them. You've not shown me some diagram of where the fucking goddamn energy, the momentum, gets lost to the ground, or some other mechanism where your truth, your silly, nonsensical, idiotic goddamn definition of reality has any integrity at all. Not one link to a fucking experiment. Not one link to any mechanical evidence of this horse shit. And you ask me, what do I think of your brain? Yeah, I think your brain's a septic piece of shit. Okay. You've gone completely retarded. You always were retarded. Okay? You never had the credibility to even know what a retard is. You're so fucking retarded. So fuck you. Yeah. So that's enough of that. Alright. So I'll move on to other things. Fucking commenters. Shit. Yeah, you should be back. Sorry about the furnace and such, but, you know, one of those things that happens in winter. All right, so this is a couple-year-old Stack Exchange, answer to a question. And I thought it was brilliant that the person asked the question. There's no follow-ups. There's no, you know, it's not really a message board. It's a, you know, arrogant pontificating place or something. But I don't see that it's closed. So I'm just wondering if we could still comment on it. But I'm obviously afraid to comment on anything because, you know, that's just going to get things closed. But anyway, so we'll just read some of this. Okay, an object is headed towards a spring at a constant velocity. No external force will act upon it except the force applied by the spring itself after the collision. Okay, let's say the spring is of arbitrary tension and arbitrary length. Well, obviously it has to be, can't just be arbitrary. So the spring has to have enough stiffness, okay, to produce the various velocities. So the stiffer a spring, the more flexibility it has. The less stiff the spring is, the less flexibility. So you want to use as stiff a spring as possible in most cases. Not as possible. Shouldn't have said that. But you want it to be stiff, okay? Not arbitrarily loose. Because the loose spring can't move quickly enough, can't put the velocity into something else because the spring itself is too slow. The spring needs to be at least as fast as the fastest object that you're going to have in the experiment. All right, my question is whether the kinetic energy of object will make a difference in how far the spring is compressed or whether it's only a matter of momentum. So he's doing it a little different. He's pushing objects into a spring. So 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour, 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour. The simple argument is, what's going to compress the spring? Is there momentum going to compress the spring, or is there energy going to compress the spring? So is the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour going to twice as compress the spring? I think clearly the answer is no chance. But anyway, okay. And the fact that we don't have this simple experiment, we can't just link to it, is so obnoxiously stupid. Again, they've had this theory for hundreds of years, and they can't cite an experiment. Not one frickin' experiment. A 300-year-old theory with absolutely zero experimental evidence. I'm not including the bogus experiments of the 1700s where they proved mv squared, not 1/2 mv squared. Obviously that proof was a pile of shit because they've conceded the formula changed. Anyway, for example, below, object 1 and object 2 have the same momentum, but object 2 has twice the kinetic energy. Would they compress the spring the same distance, or would object 2 compress it further? So if they have the same momentum and it says twice the kinetic energy, so that's not even true. So this, you know, he's made a mistake here, obviously. For example, below, object 1 and object 2 have the same momentum, but object 2 has twice the kinetic energy. And he's using 1/4 the weight. No. all you have to do is half. So he's got a kilogram and then a quarter kilogram. So yes, they have the same momentum because he has it 4 meters per second versus 1 meter per second. But it would be actually, that difference would mean a 8 times difference, right? So it'd be 4 times. Has to be at least 4 times. Half the mass would be twice. Okay, so yeah, a quarter of the mass has got to be 4 times. So it would be 4 times the compression for the little object, the 1/4 weight object, going 4 times faster under the kinetic energy theory. So he didn't say that. It's not, he didn't ask the question correctly. But look, it's kind of easy. Spring object. Yeah, have them go through a tube, whatever, doesn't matter. Just make sure they compress the spring. Okay. So, you know, these are the wacky things people say. Nothing is compressed by energy and momentum. So they don't believe these are real forces, is what their argument is. That somehow, when things are flying through space, they themselves have no idea. They don't hold any energy. They don't control any energy. They don't have energy in them. It's just some sort of, you know, space is going to decide that they're moving. That somehow the ether knows they're moving. They don't. They aren't changed in any respect. There's no physical change that happens to something when you give it a velocity. And yes, we're understanding relativity is a fact, okay, that sometimes we can't tell which object is moving because it's in a complex system, has lots of other moving parts. So we can't tell which one has actual velocity, more velocity, and which one's actually standing still. But the fact that we can't tell, does that mean that the object itself doesn't know? And I would say, no, that's silly. All right, energy and momentum are just qualities, and that physical objects which actually do the compressing. So it doesn't even make any sense. So the physical object does the compressing without having in itself any energy information. It doesn't possess the energy information. Somehow the universe possesses it. So it's just mush. I mean, I'm sorry. It's mush. It's baby talk. All right. 2, the compressed distance x is determined by mv squared equals kx squared. So this is their notion of reality, where you could just take all of that crap out. Take the squares off of both of those, and the statement is still true for momentum. Mv equals kx, the spring constant times the distance. And it would be just as accurate a formula. If you just, you know, so again, it's just them perverting the reality to fit what they want to argue is the origin of the energy or the nature of the energy. But you won't get the right answers. It's clear, in my opinion, you're only going to get the right answers if it's mv equals kx. So x depends on both m and v. I mean, everybody okay? Everybody granted, mv is the origin of your kinetic energy. So we're both talking about the same thing, but obviously that square makes a huge, gigantic difference in the outcome of the answer. Whether you call that depending on momentum or depending on energy is kind of up to you. So it's not up to you, because the answers will be completely different depending on which one you choose. So why even bother with such a stupid answer? It's not an answer to the question. The fact is, if the kinetic energy is controlling the experiment, the results will be 4 times more compression of the spring. I mean, that's a hell of a lot more compression. And if momentum is controlling, then they'll compress exactly the same. It's a gigantic difference. All right, so this guy, Cat Whisperer, so let's figure out, is that the guy who asked the question? Oh, great, they don't tell you. Well, that's very helpful. Not. You think that would be right? Oh, okay, here it is. All right, so he's the guy who asked the question. All right, so he says, according to your equation, x, in the case of 2 example objects, is directly proportional to energy, not momentum. So clearly, yes, he's arguing that energy, okay, kinetic energy is controlling, and therefore there should be 4 times the compression. All right, so this is that guy responding, maybe. No, x squared is proportional to energy. That's what he just said, proportional to energy. He just said that. See, this is, they can't even have a logical conversation. I mean, the guy says directly proportional to energy, and he says, no, x squared is proportional to energy. And meanwhile, x is proportional to p. So what's the point of saying it's proportional to p? You're squaring it. It's not going to get the same answer. Of course, it's proportional because it's made out of m and v. But clearly, by squaring the v, the proportionality doesn't mean much because it's proportionally divergent. The lower the v, and the higher the v, you get completely different answers. If you allow extra factor of m. So this is just gibberish. So again, I don't know what you mean by whether it's energy or momentum. The two answers are fundamentally different. I mean, how can they not figure this out? The spring is compressed this much versus the spring is compressed that much. That's a huge difference. 4 times as much compression. Huge difference. And he's pretending, it doesn't make any difference, it's just semantics. No, it's a huge fucking difference. So again, I don't know what you mean by whether it's energy or momentum. I mean, just amazing. It depends on both M and V. Yeah, but the answer's completely different if you square the V. Okay, you can call that what you want. I mean, yeah, I call it two completely different answers to the same question, and you're sitting there pretending that's not a problem. Okay. So this is another guy talking to him, anonymous. Whisper, the conservation of momentum would only... So there is no conservation of momentum. Let's understand. None of these people believe in conservation of momentum. So there's no point even talking about it. They don't think springs conserve momentum, and they don't think levers conserve momentum. And pendulums. None of these things conserve momentum by their theory. Because it's the only way their theory doesn't become a free energy theory. So water wheels, every turning object, gears, all of this stuff does not conserve momentum. So there's no point in even talking about conservation of momentum because none of you believe in it. Would only become relevant if the spring was not attached to a wall. So again, they just completely blow up any kind of rationality here. Of course the spring is attached to something. You can't compress the spring if it's not attached to something, for fuck's sake. So you're just like, how in that guy's simple example did you have the misimpression that, oh no, there's no device here that's attached to anything. You're just banging into a spring lying on the table, and you're going to ask, how far does the spring go? It's just too stupid. I mean, the evasions. It's just amazing. All right. Okay. Not attached. Then the center of mass. Then the center of mass and would move and blah blah. That's really a great sentence. Yeah. So again, not anywhere near even. I mean, it's just, there's no point in asking these assholes anything because this is the crap they'll pull. They'll start making up any kind of horse shit to say, oh, we can't describe an experiment without you fucking it up. Because you're mental crippled somehow. And unless we go through every single bit of minutia, yes, the spring is made out of real matter, not antimatter. What if the spring was made out of antimatter? I mean, that's the kind of crap they would pull to evade the simple problem. All right. That's a different problem, probably, not the one you're referring to. Yeah, duh. All right, so I don't know. I don't know the difference between those answers and these answers, whatever, blah, blah, blah. As mentioned by Kazibas in comments, I don't think it's correct to really say that a spring is directly compressed by either momentum or by kinetic energy. There's a truth. It will either be compressed. There's only two things that are realistically possible. It'll either be compressed 4 times as much as the other object, or it'll be the same. So if momentum's conserved, it'll be the same compression. If momentum isn't conserved, it'll be a lot more compression. Those are the only two choices here. There's no other, there's not like, oh, there's 768 million other varieties of outcomes. Those are the only two realistic outcomes. That's all that's on the table. And the idea is you choose one. And then you make some kind of argument defending why that choice makes any damn sense at all. Anyway, fuck. I don't think it's okay, so I reread that. As Dumene commented, rightfully points out, springs are compressed by force. So what the fuck does that mean? So I don't know where that comment was, so we're missing that one, right? So I guess that must have been show one more comment. Sorry for my poor wording. Yes, from a principal point of view, I can only say that spring is compressed by force. Okay. However, I asked the question from the point of view of a something do-it-yourself engineering exercise that is trying to ensure a certain amount of compression for an object already in motion. I don't know what exactly he's saying there, but whatever. All right, the relation between the applied force, kinetic energy, and momentum will all depend on the situation you describe. So he overtly describes the situation. It's not that complicated. 5-ton train, 10 miles an hour. 10-ton train, 5 miles an hour. They will compress the same spring. do they compress it the same, or do they compress it one twice as much as the other? Not a complicated question. It all depends on the situation. What are you talking about? He gave you the situation. His situation is 1/4. So it's 4 times more compression. That said, it can be easily shown that in your example scenario, given the same momentum, we get different values for spring compression. So that's he's just going to do the math. He has no reasoning or logic to justify it, but this is what they're going to do. We know that the kinetic energy can be determined by Ke = 1/2 mv², says you. Okay, and the energy in the spring can be shown as Pe. I don't know what the energy, what does he mean by energy? He just did the kinetic energy and now he's still calling momentum energy? So I don't know what Pe is. The momentum energy? I don't know. What the hell does that mean? 1/2 kx². So again, it's just the spring constant times the distance that it compresses. It's going to be proportional, okay, to the amount of energy due to conservation of energy that gives us. So again, he's conserving kinetic energy. He's not conserving momentum. All right, 1/2 mv² = 1/2 kx². So blah, blah, blah. For example, if you solve for x object, it will compress the spring x times the square root of bit over 1 of object 2, and the spring will compress about 8. So he's right here, it's the square root of 1 over k and then 8 over k. So I guess the square root obviously would convert an 8 into a 4. So that's the difference you have. You have an 8 here and you have a 1 here, so the difference is 8, and 8 unsquared is, well, 4 times 4 is 16, so that doesn't even make any sense. But anyway, it's a fraction, so I guess that's why it's different. But the point is he's saying, yes, the spring will be compressed 4 times as much. Okay, you can see that the increased kinetic energy, while leaving momentum the same, will increase the compression of the spring. This means the compression is proportional to energy, not momentum. And he says all this as if he has some kind of real-world experience or some sort of evidence or something to back that up other than just doing math and saying math is always right, when the formula is the whole issue. The whole question is what formula is right, mv or mv squared? And again, the 300-year history, and they don't have any fucking evidence. But does not necessarily say anything about the cause of the compression. So who cares about the cause? The idea is if one answer is correct, you're just saying it, 4 times more compression, then we know kinetic energy is compressing the spring and not momentum, because obviously momentum is not conserved. I mean, shit, too obvious. And obviously there's lots of free energy. Just again, keep exchanging heavy things for light things and you just keep making all the free energy the universe could need. If you let the ball hit the free spring, you'll find that the momentum is also conserved. So again, how can both be conserved? It compresses the spring 4 times more and it doesn't compress the spring 4 times more. It compresses the spring the same. They both can't be conserved. It's just so fucking stupid. And that the energy transfer is never complete. So again, where does anybody have an indication that springs don't store energy just as good as batteries store energy? I mean, they store it really well, not really badly, really well. Okay, the ball never comes to a stop. Oh, so this is just more baby talk. The reason that momentum is not conserved, so he just says it's also conserved, and then he says the reason why it's not conserved. I mean, the incoherent right there, you know, he sits there and says, fine, that momentum is also conserved. And he says, the reason that momentum is not conserved, what the fuck? But energy is here, is that the system is subject to external impulse. Oh, isn't that interesting? From the fixed end of the spring. So there's absolutely no evidence that the fixed end of the spring is doing anything but what it would do in the explosion experiment, right? Where you just put a spring on a wall and you put a one mass object in a wall and you compress the spring the same amount each time, and this always leaves at the same velocity. The one mass cart always leaves at the same velocity. And then I can make the wall lighter and lighter and lighter, and I can make the wall all the way back to 1 and 1. And they'll always absorb the same energy. So whether you like it or not, the building absorbs the energy. It doesn't have a choice. Okay. Let's see. The reason is that momentum is not conserved, but energy is here, is that the system is subject to external impulse from the fixed end of the spring. So there's no impulse from the fixed end because you've fixed it. And that means because the object is still attached to it, it will just reflect. But not to external work. Because the fixed end is fixed. Because they fixed. Okay, he didn't fix that one. So one absolutely should say that the spring is compressed by anything except force. I mean, it's just baby talk. It's going to be compressed. If it compresses 4 times... then it's kinetic energy. If it compresses the same, it's momentum. So then this guy says, very good point. What the fuck? I added in that springs are compressed by force. So this is just more baby talk. If the fact is, there's no way of denying the facts. If the 10-ton train and the 5-ton train compress the spring the same, it means momentum is compressing the spring. And if it's different, it means kinetic energy is compressing the spring. It's just too frickin' obvious. There's no third choice here. Since I don't remotely address that in the answer and absolutely should have. Okay, sorry, I was editing my answer and posted it before seeing yours, which essentially says the same thing, not trying to one-up you, Bob. So apparently they just keep editing these poorly constructed piles of crap, which is a surprise. It doesn't seem good enough to be something that was actually edited. I'll take a little break, be back. All right, finish up. Okay, so when an object collides with a spring, there will be a change in both its kinetic energy and momentum. So we're not talking about whether its momentum is going to change. Of course it's going to change. It's going to stop. It's going to crash into the spring, compress the spring, and then its motion forward is going to stop, and then the spring is going to start pushing it away. So the whole idea is you lock it at its maximum compression, or you just visually take a photograph of its maximum compression. Yeah, so again, this is just more evasion, just more mush, like there's something complicated happening here. It couldn't be any simpler. Okay, it is the kinetic energy of the object that determines the compression of the spring. So he's overtly challenging the other people and overtly siding with one particular outcome and saying that, yes, it's the kinetic energy. So the lighter object will compress the spring 4 times as much. Okay, if the objects have the same mass, M, so it's just too stupid. The whole fucking experiment's been diagrammed, you know. I mean, why would you say something this stupid? If the objects have the same mass and the same velocity, too stupid. I mean, then the same object. So he's saying the same object will have the same effect. Yeah, we know that part. I could just repeat the same experiment and get the same result over and over and over again. Yeah, that's so fascinating. They will have the same momentum and kinetic energy. They won't have the same momentum and kinetic energy. So that's bullshit. So that won't happen. I mean, the momentum and the kinetic energy are never the same number. Okay. In terms of the effect of an object on the spring, I guess in the case of one, if the mass is one, I mean, the velocity is one, then it's the same number. But that's it, right? Okay, in terms of the effect of an object on the spring, you can apply the work energy theorem, which states that the net work done, so again, the biggest pile of crap is their definition of what work is, okay, on an object equals the change in its kinetic energy. So isn't that circular? So it's dependent on a formula that's never been proven to be right. Oh, that's really clever. In the case of the following equation, applying the theorem, the kinetic energy is that before the collision. So none of these are written very well. Applying the theorem, the kinetic energy is that before the collision and is zero at the maximum compression of the spring when the object is brought to a stop. So again, more just duh. The spring does negative work on the object, taking its kinetic energy and storing it as spring potential energy. I just love the negative work crap. Just amazing. It does negative work. Oh, fuck. All right. For the spring. So he does this bullshit. I mean, it's just doing the mv squared crap. 1/2 mv squared. Solve for the displacement x. So here he gets this ludicrously incorrect answer. In your example, object 2, even though it has the same momentum as object 1, has twice the kinetic energy. So even if they do all this stupid, retarded fucking math, they can't even get the right answer. 1/4 the mass going 4 times faster does not produce just twice the amount of energy. It's 4 times under the kinetic energy theory. So he didn't even do the math right. All right, it has twice the kinetic energy, so it will compress the spring more. And you can't even say how much more. You don't even know that the spring constant sort of dictates that it will compress it. If it's twice as much energy, it's twice as much compression. If it's 4 times more energy, it's 4 times the compression. Hope this helps. Helps what? Keep people stupid? Okay, yes, you successfully kept people stupid. You kept up a fake, phony, nonsensical, idiotic, irrational concept, and you're just keeping it alive for no good reason, and you never answered the simple question, what really happens? Which one happens? What actual event actually takes place? Well, he did say, the one guy did say kinetic energy wins, therefore it's half, twice as much compression, even though the object clearly stated 1/4 kilogram at a velocity of 4 meters per second. It's obviously a quarter weight going four times as fast. So just ignore what the guy offered and answer a different question. And this is the best they can do. Sorry. Yeah. No, it falls short. Yeah, if you don't notice. All right, so I really want to do this other message board, but the other guy, he sort of asked me not to, but I'm saying, fuck it. It's not that he asked me not to. He asked me not to at the time because he was just, he knows the trolls will show up and ruin it. But nobody's talking, so the message board has disappeared from being a hot subject, but it doesn't look like it's closed, and the answers are shit. So it would be interesting to do. I think it's here. Yeah, well, I won't go there. I'll go there next time. So, this is enough of a video. But, I mean, it's the simple Professor Lewin thing. He just keeps pointing out how it's more momentum in one direction. All I have to do is bang it into another heavy object and bang it into another twice as heavy object and bang it into another twice as heavy object, and I'll just keep increasing the momentum. How can that possibly be a reality in our physical reality and we haven't fell upon it as a great way to create free energy? The theory actually physically can't be correct, because if it was, we'd have free energy. It's just that obvious. There's nothing stopping the building of the perpetual motion machine if their theory is correct. And it's obvious. And here I have to make these videos and, I can't get any. I can't get any counter argument. I can't get provided any counter evidence, and I can't get any support. I mean, it's just amazing. To me, anyway. Surprising. I'm surprised that the world is this belligerently stupid. See, like I said, I wish, like I said, if Hathaway was alive, Hathaway would say, be saying, yeah, you're right. It's a bullshit equation. I always thought it was a little dicey, too. He'd say something like that. Because the evidence is overwhelming. It doesn't work. That experiment of Professor Lewin's can't possibly be true. You can't possibly do this. Well, I'm going to subtract this way from this way. Because all I do is turn it into heat. All right, if it's joules of energy, I just turn it into heat because joules can be directly converted into heat. And then you're stuck saying, what? You know, heat that way undoes heat that way? That can't be true. Yeah, I mean, it's just so, who would it, go figure. I just didn't think smart people were really this profoundly dishonest, corrupt, full of shit. They're just mimicking. Mimic. They don't do any analysis. They don't do any free thinking. They don't apply anything called logic. They learn their little mathematical trick, and that's all they have, are math tricks. They have nothing else. They don't have any capacity to understand the actual physics, the actual physical circumstance. None whatsoever. All right, that's probably enough. Probably is. All right. I think it probably is. Mostly, probably is enough. All right, so I'll just slide out of here. Oops, that's not the sliding video. This is the sliding window. Okay, yeah. All right, so till the next time and such and so forth and what?
There's no air in here. None. I can't breathe. I guess it'll have to be the end of the video.